Well, amen. Good to see you this morning. You braved the elements. You shoveled your snow. Amen. What did Nancy say? She drove over it. I thought she said she drove over John while he was shoveling snow. Say, poor John. Well, we're glad to see you here this morning, and we pray the Lord's blessing be upon you. I do want to make mention this morning the flowers you see on the table. And before me are the flowers from Marty Thornhill's memorial service yesterday, and what a glorious service that was here. There had to be over 200 people, if you can imagine, here. I think the only two seats that were left were two that were behind me. When I got up out of one, and Brother Adil Mehta was in the other. But what a wonderful time of testimony and praise and celebration. Marty, absent from the body, present with the Lord, and we will certainly miss her. But we'll continue on as she would have us continue on. Amen? Each one of us serving God and living for Him. I'd like you to turn in two places of your scripture this morning. First, turn to 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2, and hold your place there. 1 Peter chapter 2. And then after you get to 1 Peter 2 and hold your place, turn back, if you would, to Acts chapter number 7. Acts chapter number 7. And we're going to begin reading there first, Acts chapter number 7. Now, in Acts chapter 7, we have the account of a godly man. His name is Stephen. He's a deacon, a servant of the Lord, a servant of the church. And he preaches a wonderful message. Before a high priest and others who need to hear a message from God. And in verse 51... Stephen says about them that he's preaching to, he refers to them as, verse 51, stiff-necked or stubborn. He calls them uncircumcised in heart and ears. He tells them that they always resist the Holy Spirit as their fathers did. He said, so do you. And he brings out that as they have received the law, they have not kept it. They have not kept that which they have received. And then we come into verse 54, where the Bible says, and when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. Do you think? By what he just preached and what he just said to them, referencing their stubbornness and their hard-heartedness and their uncircumcision of heart and ear and their refusal to keep the law of God. And the Bible said in verse 55, but he, that Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. Now we all know who Saul would later become. Acts chapter 9, salvation experience, Saul of Tarsus. Saved, later becomes the great apostle Paul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now turn over, if you would, with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere or pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Boy, what an indication of what Stephen experienced in Acts chapter 7. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Our gracious Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, thank you for this opportunity to come and to fellowship with God's people in this place. Father, thank you for this special music and all that we've enjoyed already this morning, opportunity to worship you in prayer and song and in giving. And now we come before you and we ask in these next few moments, God, that you might speak to our heart, that your Holy Spirit might have liberty to work in each one of us here who name the name of Christ. We pray that you might affect change in our life. We pray that you might bring into our life blessing. And out of the overflow of the blessing we receive today, that we might impart blessing to those we come in contact with, family and friends and co-workers alike. And I ask and pray, Father, in these next few moments that we're together, if there's one or more here today that do not know your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as personal Savior and Lord today, Father, that they would recognize, and maybe for the very first time, how much they need Jesus Christ and how much they desire a home in heaven and have no other means, no other way of attaining such except by him. So bless us and work in us today. And Father, when we leave this place, having cleaned off our cars and shoveled our snow and made our way here through the cold, may we be able to say it was good to come to the house of the Lord today. And that you would bless us and work through us. Until Jesus comes, we make our prayer with thanksgiving. Amen. You know, in various ways throughout the Bible, we are encouraged as we read God's Word to grow spiritually. We are encouraged not only to grow spiritually, but the Bible tells us, much like in Romans chapter 8 and several other passages in the Word of God, that we are encouraged to be transformed, that is, to become more and more like our Savior and Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, our scripture readings that we shared with you this morning, 1 Peter chapter 2, which we just read, and first of all, Acts chapter 7, they call for us to grow into salvation, into wholeness in Him, into the person that God created us to be. And I was reading the other day, there's a spiritual formation, we'll call it. Dallas Willard is a professor of philosophy at the University of Southern California. He's also a prolific writer on the spiritual life, and discipleship is his precision in particular. For our help with this, he offers an acronym, a spiritual formation that he put together that I wanted to share with you this morning, and then take that and expand on that for a moment. His acronym is V-I-M, VIM, VIM. Now, not VIN, like a vehicle identification number on your automobile, a VIN number, but this is a VIM that he has shared to help us in the formulation of spiritual thoughts, drawing us, seeking to help us to grow more and more in the Lord. Let me share this with you. First of all, he states that the V, the letter V, stands for the word vision. The letter V stands for vision. That is, who are we and who are we called to be? The letter I stands for the word intention. Do we intend to live and become this kind of person? The letter M stands for two words. One we'll focus on more than the other, but it stands for method and means. That is, what are we going to do in order to become this person? And so if we were to title the message for you this morning, it'd simply be this: who will you be when you grow up? Now, I understand, looking around the room, there's some young people, teenagers, and there's middle agers, and there's older agers, and senior agers, but we're not thinking about this in a physical sense as we look at the physical being here today, but I'm thinking more in the spiritual sense, because God encourages all of us to be about growing up spiritually every single day. That is, to be maturing in our faith. That is, as we said, to become more conformed and transformed to the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on a daily basis, in a daily way. And so here's the thought we have in mind. Who will you be when you grow up, when you grow more in the process of who God created you to be as a person? First, introduced in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, and now on your walk with God. Some of us have been saved 5 years, some saved 10, some 30, some 50 years, some longer you've had a walk with God. But who will you be when you grow up? And I would like to take the VIM and expand on this a little bit and share a few thoughts we have with you. So first of all, let's take the letter V, which is vision. Vision. We must have a vision of who we are and who we are called to be. Come. And let me start by something that Peter said under inspiration of God. Peter tells us, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Amen? In the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, you are somebody to God. Peter said, once you were not a people. There's no interest in the things of God. You had no walk with God. You had no relationship with God. Your life was all about living your life for you. Your interest. What sparked you? What spurred you on? So Peter says, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. And let me say to you, that's who you are. You are the people of God. You belong to God. You were created in God's image of the infinite, and you are of an infinite worth to God. You are made to live in love with God. You are made to live in love with one another before God. That's who we are as a people of God. And our text this morning describes the kinds of people that God wants us to become. And so this message that we break out with this morning, this message, 2011, I want you to keep in mind, who will you be when you grow up? Will you be the kind of person that God wants you to become over and above everything else? And it starts with this letter, the letter V. It starts with this thought of vision. Now let me go on and say, we will be people, we will be a people of God, we will be what God will have us to be if we will be a people who are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. It is said of Stephen, remember this godly man, Acts chapter 7, this godly deacon, the first Christian martyr. It was said in Acts chapter 7, verse 55, that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, that is when we first come into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Holy Spirit of God comes in, when the Holy Spirit of God enters our life in a daily basis, when we come before the throne of God and we pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we will put away, as Peter said, all malice. We will put away, as Peter said, guile and insincerity and envy and slander. And we will allow God to produce in our lives what the Bible calls, in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, what is this fruit of the Spirit? When we allow the Spirit of God to fill up our life and to empower our life and all these other things that Peter talked about in 1 Peter chapter 2, when these things are removed from our life, when they're gone, God removing them from our lives, He fills us with the fruit of the Spirit. Instead of malice, we have love. Instead of guile, we have joy. We have peace. We have patience and kindness and goodness and generosity and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. This is the kind of person that God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, shapes us to be, desires us to be, and wants us to be this morning. And if we are not becoming that type of person as a child of God, if we are not growing in our faith, and if we are not walking along with God, and if we are not being more and more transformed into the image of Jesus Christ as the Spirit of the living God has taken up residence in us, then folks, something's wrong. Something is definitely wrong. If you want to know whether or not you're growing, ask members of your own family. Amen? Have a sit down with them. Husband, sit across the table from your wife and ask her, "Honey, am I growing in the things of God? Do you see it in me? Do you hear it from me?" Wives, ask your husband, sit across the table, "Am I growing in the things of God?" Young people, ask parents. Parents, ask your young people. This type of conversation today, ask on the way home. I guarantee it'll make for an interesting ride on the way home. Amen? Ask the people who know you the best, who live with you, right where you are. I'm not talking just coming Sunday morning, go to church with you. But I'm talking about the people that know you the best and live with you 24/7. Listen, what I'm saying is the role of the Holy Spirit is crucial in our spiritual growth. Simply trying to act more loving, simply trying to act more forgiving, simply trying to express a better a kindness to people, things of that doesn't cut it. See, simply trying, oftentimes what happens is we too many times try in our own power. We try in our own strength. We work these things out in our own flesh, trying to act more lovingly. And I guarantee you that these things, trying to manufacture, man-made manufacture, woman-made manufacturing, will only lead to discouragement and despair, because trying to act more lovingly in your own power will never get the job done. And trying to be more forgiving and more understanding in your own power will fall far short. And so what we need to do, we need to recognize it's the work of God's Spirit in the depths of our being that enables us to grow and become more Christ-like. In fact, the Bible, God's Word, reminds us that we are God's people and that the whole world is made up of God's people. You know, we're not the only church on the block preaching the Word of God. Amen? And you're not the only group of Christians. We get to heaven, there's going to be a lot of Christians from all over the world that we're going to have opportunity to fellowship with and worship with. And Peter says, as a church, we must let ourselves be built into a spiritual house. We must allow God to build us into a holy priesthood, for we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. You see the vision here? You are not your own. You have been. As we saw in our Sunday school class this morning, Harry reiterated to us in class, we are not our own. We have been bought with a price. And because we're not our own, one of the signs of growing up spiritually, is how we interact with other believers. One of the signs of growing up spiritually is a term that's used, how we interact amongst a community of believers as we grow in Christ-likeness. And this is God's vision of who he wants us to be as we grow up. As we grow up amongst the people of God, ministering with the people of God, serving with the people of God, worshiping as people of God together, we are to be filled with the Spirit of God, allowing the production of the fruit of the Spirit, forgiving those who hurt us, trusting God more and more to lead us and to guide us. And to do so, we live in community closer and closer, wonderful fellowship with one another. Now, I want you to notice one thing. Let's kind of digress just back a little bit. Go back to Acts chapter 2 with me. Acts chapter 2. Here's a thought. It just came to mind. In Acts chapter number 2, listen to this. Talk about community of believers, worshiping together, serving together, ministering together. Look at Acts chapter number 4, Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, as we see this church, this early New Testament church, growing in the things of God. Verse 42 speaks of this group, and it says, "And they continued steadfastly," notice this, "in the apostles' doctrine, in the teaching of God, in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers." You know, what a wonderful picture of the community of faith there, amen? Sitting under the teaching of the Word of God together, receiving what God has for us this morning in this place. You're sitting beside somebody, you're sitting behind somebody, you're sitting in front of somebody, and God's word being taught and us receiving what God has for us. What a wonderful picture, this community of faith, where we're able to come into this place and not only receive what God's word has for us, but to be able to fellowship with one another. This breaking of bread, the time we gather as a community of faith, gathering around the Lord's table, time that we observe, a time of communion. And what about prayers? What about our time when we have the church called to prayer meetings and we have our Wednesday night prayer meetings and we send out prayer meetings over the internet? We have your email address and you get that bullet to be in prayer for somebody in need of a health issue or a job situation. With that community of faith, all of us, as the Bible refers to as the household of faith, is able to come together and trust God and depend upon God for him to do something in and through all of our lives. That is part of the vision that we're talking about as we grow up in the things of God and as we mature in the things of God. But when you have a vision, that's one thing. But then the second part of this is to have the intention around that vision. That is the question each must ask themselves today, is whether or not this is our intention. In other words, do you intend this morning to grow and change and be transformed into Christ-likeness? See, this is what God's vision is in the Scripture. The Holy Spirit of God who indwells you wants to grow you, wants to teach you, wants to see you grow up in the things of God and strengthened and be matured and to be nurtured off the Word of God. But do you desire for God to do that in your life? See, the Bible says that we can, if we're not careful, we can quench the Spirit of the living God. Amen? The Bible tells us if we're not careful, we can grieve the Spirit of the living God. See, God has so much in the Scripture that he wants to share with us, that he wants to give us, and wouldn't it be a wonderful thing for us to sit here this morning and say, "Speak, Lord, thy servant's listening. Speak, Lord, thy servant's listening." But not only do we listen, but wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to say, "Lord, now may I apply to my life that which you have for me from your word." See, there's intention. Have you ever decided, this is the kind of person I'm going to become? I'm going to bring every element of my being working from the inside out into harmony with the will of God and the character of Jesus Christ. We must intend the vision if it is to be realized. Let me share this little account with you. A man meets a woman at a party, and he is stunned by her knockout beauty. He thinks to himself, I cannot let this woman get away. I've got to figure out some way to create a connection to her. So he says to her, you know, I may not look like much, but my father is a very wealthy man. And he's in bad health. He's an old man. And he's not going to live more than 2 years at the most. And when he dies, I will be worth $50 million. Well, you can tell the woman is impressed. She asked this young man for his business card. 3 days later, he gets a note from her informing him that she is now his stepmother. This woman caught a vision. Then she set her intentions upon obtaining that vision. Then she discovered the means and method by which to make that vision a reality. That's what we're talking about. God puts before us the vision of who He wants us to be, who He desires to be. But then there's the intention. That is, have you decided? This is the vision God wants for me. This is what God has for me. And that's what I want also. And you intent on going after that vision. So that brings us to number three in our vim. V is the vision. I is the intention. M is the method or the means. There are methods and means by which you make your vision a reality. To grow, to change, to be more loving, to be more forgiving, to be more trusting requires more than just intentions. Intentions alone don't get the job done, amen? It requires at least a twofold effect. One, a reliance upon the Spirit of God to work within us. I bring it up again because we can't emphasize that enough. To allow the Spirit of the living God to work His will and His way into your life on a daily basis. Not just something that when you came to Christ, the Spirit of God moved in, but I'm talking about the everyday, getting up in the morning, Holy Spirit of God, fill me with power today. So the things that I see, the things that I hear, the things that my hands and my feet do, bring honor and glory to God. Fill me with power today. I'm talking about afternoon. Holy Spirit of God, fill me with power. I got a business meeting today. I need your wisdom on how to conduct myself. I'm talking about evening. Holy Spirit of God, fill me with power. I'm making the meal today for the family. I'm taking the family out. I'm doing this. I'm meeting that. I have this commitment. I have this responsibility. Holy Spirit of God, fill me with your power that all might bring honor and glory to God. That's number one. Number two, not only do we need a reliance upon the Spirit of God through our intention, but we also need an effort on our part through spiritual disciplines and practices through which God can shape us inwardly. We can't say enough about the inward disciplines and practices that God wants to use to shape us inwardly. So here we go. There's the vision, there's the intention. There's the method, there is the means, reliance on the Spirit and our spiritual disciplines and practices. It's what Peter was talking about when he said to us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 2, that we must long for the sincere milk of the Word. We must hunger after that spiritual milk so that we might grow in our salvation. This is what Peter's talking about when we long for this because we have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Peter's talking about nourishing our souls on the basics of spiritual formation. What's the basics of spiritual formation? It starts with prayer. The first prayer I ever uttered in my life that meant anything for me, truly, was when I bowed my head in prayer and said, Lord, come into my heart. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And I began that relational walk with Jesus Christ. Prayer. It's everyday praying. It's everyday communing with God. It's part of that spiritual formation. It's part of that practice of the discipline that God is bringing into our life in a daily way. It's Scripture. It's reading the Word of God. It's getting in the Word. It's recognizing your need for the spiritual nourishment from the Word of God as much, if not more, than you recognize the physical need when you have breakfast in the morning, you have your snack, then you have your lunch, then you have your snack, then you have your supper, then you have your snack, and oh yeah, before you go to bed, you have third snacks. Some of you are shaking your heads and saying, no way, I couldn't do that. You know what? Let me tell you something. We need the Word of God even more than that. Amen? We need to be in, we need to develop that daily spiritual discipline and practice of taking in the Scripture. Spiritual formations, prayer. Let's go over this just quickly. Prayer and Scripture and worship. Worship could be the word for the year for us. Worship. Do you realize what you've done this morning? We come, we sing, we worship. We come, we give, we worship. We come, we preach, we teach, we worship. We read the Word of God, we worship. Fellas, you can worship God at the workplace. Ladies, you can worship God while grocery shopping. We can worship God while taking the walk. We can worship God while being in our automobile. We worship. Life is all about, for the Christian, it's all about worshiping our God. It's all about lifting up the name of Jesus. It's all about growing in Him. It's reflecting on God's goodness. It's meditating on the person and teachings of Christ. It's setting aside the time. Setting aside the time where you say, wow, I've got a hectic schedule today. And before your foot gets out that door, you set aside the time to sit for a moment and say, taking us right back to point one, Holy Spirit, fill me. Fill me. And use me. Our actions spring from who we are inside. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Let's remember that. Our inner being has to change. The process of spiritual formation, a renewing of the mind, the emotion, the heart, the will, the spirit, the body, the soul, to the point where our entire self is organized around God. Our entire self is fully integrated with God. Through our personal walk and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, make this happen. Oh God, let this happen. Oh God, let us, let you do your everlasting work in our life. I close with this. Who will you be when you grow up? The idea here is Christ-likeness. The idea really is Him before you. When people see you, what do you want to reflect back to them? And many times I reflect myself, and that's not a good thing. Like Paul, we can all say, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. What the working of the Holy Spirit is in all about in our life this morning is, when people see us reflecting Christ in our words and in our deeds and in every manner of life. The goal is Christ-likeness. Writer and pastor John Ortberg tells of a man in his church, and I close with this. He calls this man Hank. He said Hank had attended church since he was a boy and now was in his 60s. He was known by everyone, but no one really liked him. He had difficulty loving his wife. His children could not speak freely with him and really felt no affection from him. He was not concerned for the poor. He had little tolerance for those outside the church. And he tended to judge harshly those who were inside the church. One day, someone in the church worked up enough courage and boldness, and they asked him, they said, Hank, are you happy? Without smiling, he responded, yes. Well, then, the person replied, tell your face. Hank's outward demeanor mirrored a deeper and much more tragic reality. And that was the fact that Hank wasn't growing up. Hank was growing older, but Hank wasn't growing up. That is, spiritually, Hank was not changing. Hank was not being transformed. He was not growing toward Christ's likeness. But here's what is most remarkable. Pastor Ortberg shares, nobody in the church was surprised by this at all. No one called an emergency meeting of the church leaders to consider this strange case of a person who wasn't changing. No one really expected Hank to change, so no one was surprised when he didn't. There were other expectations of Hank in church. People expected that Hank would attend all the services. People expected that Hank would give his money. People expected that Hank would do church work. But no one expected that day by day, month by month, decade by decade, that Hank would be transformed and grow more and more into the likeness of Jesus. People did not expect that he would become a progressively more loving, joyful, and winsome person, so they were not shocked when it did not happen. Can I say to you, it ought to be the contrary for the child of God. Amen? We ought to be shocked when we are not growing in the things of God. We ought to be shocked if we pray and ask the Holy Spirit of God to fill us. We ought to be shocked when something horrific escapes our lips because we know it's not from God. We ought to be shocked when our mind takes us to places that it shouldn't be because we know it's not from God. We ought to be shocked when our hands do and our feet take us to things that do not honor God because we know it's not from God. We ought to be shocked if we have an expectation that someone just come to church and leave the same way they came in. Oh, as long as they're here, and as long as they support, and as long as they maybe get involved in a project, we ought to be shocked to our core when a transforming process of the Spirit of God is not taking place in a life. My encouragement to you, you can grow older, but in the Lord, are you growing up? And there's a big difference. My prayer for you, my prayer for our church, my prayer for me is that this year that we will grow up more and more into the likeness and the image of God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Can you imagine the breakout reality of what God could do in this place and through His people if we would grow up? Grow up in Him? Let's ask God to make that happen. Amen? Let's ask God on a daily basis, fill me with Holy Spirit power. Use me. Help me to speak. When you go to say something, catch it and give it to the Spirit of God. Amen? When you go to think it, grab it and give it to the Spirit of God. And you know what, folks? Listen, I'm preaching to myself just as much as I'm preaching to you. I need this too. We need the Spirit of the living God to help us to be everything and more that God intends. The vision, the intention, and the method. The vim. Once in a while, let that pop back into your mind and let God remind you of the person He has called you to be. Our gracious Father in heaven, we thank You so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, thank You for this opportunity that we have to come today. Father, we need You. Lord Jesus, we need You. And Holy Spirit, we need You. Father, we love You, and Jesus, we love You, and Holy Spirit, we love You. And I ask and pray this morning, first and foremost, Father, if there be any here who have never placed their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, know that heaven is home. God, that this day, God, today, that they might pray and ask Christ to come into their heart as their Savior. Turn from their sin and turn to Him. Confess with their mouth, believe in their heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, just as He said. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, maybe that's you today. Maybe you've never trusted the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. How about doing it today?